Coming to you from the liberal Northeast. Dynamite in a small package. A prolific conservative blog writer. A brilliant conservative mind. A warrior for the Constitution. An advocate for the preservation of our God-given freedoms. Taking the fight directly to the conspiracy nutjobs and liberal crackpots. She's going all out in this war against fascism and wanton destruction of our republic. This is All Out Amy! Amy.
Welcome to another edition of All Out Amy, and I am your host, Amy. I have to actually say my name because some people will ask me, hey Amy, what's your real name? All Out Amy. And I'm like, that's a hard one. Amy. Okay, go figure. So, I want to thank DC of Chimpsey Conservative Talk, and you can hear our podcasts Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, and all day Sunday at www.chimpseytalk.com. My show, All Out Amy, is on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the rerun plays every week until I do a new show. I try to do one every couple of weeks. And you can join us in the chat room also at that chimpseytalk.com site. There is a chat box on the bottom, so if there's a show going on, people are usually in the chat room. There's a bunch of different shows. We're all conservative talk. All a different slant. We don't always agree on everything, but one thing we do agree on is we want to get back to the house that Ronald Reagan built. So today on the show, I'm going to talk about the elections, mostly the Massachusetts elections, and we'll do a little bit of my usual slamming of Obama and co. And then we have to get to the whole TSA debacle. With that, I want to play a little clip, and I will be right back.
Well, outraged tonight over some comments made by a local state representative. Representative James Fagan, a defense attorney, was on the House floor debating Jessica's Law last month, and he talked about how he says it would destroy kids on the witness stand. Listen.
And I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares, and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy. That's because when you're in court and you're defending somebody's liberty and you're facing a mandatory sentence of those draconian proportions, you have to do every single thing you can do on behalf of your client. That is your oath and obligation as a trial lawyer.
That's fine if he's a defense lawyer and that's his job, but he is also a person who is stopping good legislation from being passed. It's talk about ethically wrong. I mean, it's just incredible.
And she's talking about Jessica's Law, which would toughen the penalties against repeat sex offenders. Now, a version of Jessica's Law did pass in the House, still has not passed in the Senate. And child advocates say that the penalties on that version are just too weak.
Okay, so as unbelievable as that seems, that was Representative James Fagan of Taunton. He's a criminal defense lawyer. Go figure, huh? Defense attorney. And that was his argument on the House against Jessica's Law. Okay, so in Massachusetts, we finally passed a version of the Jessica's Law, We finally passed a version of it. But it basically, you know, Devil Patrick is all over. He has a hard-on for rapists, murderers, and, you know, molesters. So he didn't, basically they get nothing. They get a slap on the wrist. A minimum sentence doesn't do anything. Does not mandate the 25-year prison term that the original Jessica's Law, you know, requires in Florida. And if you're not familiar with Jessica's Law, that was named after Jessica Lunford, the 9-year-old girl from Florida who was raped and murdered by a neighbor in 2005. they enacted that law against child sex, you know, sex offenders. So, yeah, we can't have that in Massachusetts. We have, I swear to God, every other person, if you do any search in Massachusetts on any zip code and you're surrounded by molesters and rapists, they're all over the place. It's not a great place to have kids. So, yeah, that was Jimmy Fagan. Jimmy Fagan, he, believe it or not, state representative in Massachusetts, he was the only one of the bigwig names in Massachusetts that lost his bid in this recent election. But guess what? Surprise, surprise. Jimmy Fagan cannot believe that anyone wouldn't vote for him, this arrogant prick that he is. So he's suing to steal, he's going to try and steal his seat back. Okay, so when people tell me how corrupt their states are, I don't even think anyone can even remotely hold a candle to Massachusetts. So the other person, you know, besides Bonnie Frank, I mean, that's just, he's just a lost cause. He is an absolute, he's just, I mean, what can you say about him? Massachusetts is the only place that you can have an unmasked, openly, you know, advocating socialist like Devil Patrick, Mini Obama, get reelected as governor, although they're saying there was massive voter fraud because SEIU was given the day, all the SEIU members were given the day off to go out and pick up people who otherwise wouldn't have voted. So they went out and actively, you know, went knocking door to door. Do you want to go vote? Sure, come on, I'll bring you, you know, to people who never would have voted to begin with. So whatever, it's all is said and done. So Devil Patrick gets back in by a very slim margin. Barney Frank, again, same type of thing, gets in. And yeah, we chose a lying, thieving, corrupt, you know, he's just a vile person who is mainly to blame for all of our woes right now. Everyone says George Bush, but it was really Barney and Chris Dodd. And we chose him over a Marine, okay? So, small businessman, you know, Marine, just, that boggles the mind. Young, fresh blood that can come in, nope. He has an R next to his name. I swear to God that they would, people in Massachusetts would vote for a dead, rotting carcass that washed up on the beach, like a beached whale, if it had a D next to its name. Oh, wait, they just did. That was Barney Frank. Anyways, so we also, it's the only state where, again, openly, actively, you know, Jim McGovern, state rep, goes down and parties, used to party with Castro, thinks he's just great. So again, open, you know, someone who is openly Marxist and socialist and just, they're all the same to me. They all want power, control. This guy's been in the House for, you know, has been years and years and years and years and years. Again, we voted him in over fresh blood. And we also voted in Suzanne Bump. Now, this person, you never would have heard about her. She is the state auditor. Oh, wait, before Suzanne Bump, Marsha Coakley, as John Kerry called her, Marsha Coakley. Martha Coakley was also voted back in. She's the one that lost to Scott Brown. And she didn't have the state troopers. The people that worked for her they wanted her out. They tried to get her, give her the boot. But again, corruption is alive and well in Massachusetts. And you can't find, outside of Chicago, you probably can't find any more corrupt place as far as politics than in Massachusetts. And so then we come to Suzanne Bump. So we're a state who hires to the state auditor. She is now our state auditor. And this woman is up on ethics violations. She's up. She claims two property tax exemptions. You can only claim one, your main primary residence. You can only claim one. Yet this woman, she was also a part of Deval Patrick's administration. Of course, you know, birds of a feather flock together. She's a former labor secretary, okay, in Deval Patrick's, you know, administration. And then she ran for state auditor. So Here she is. She's got corruption charges against her, you know, not corruption, ethics charges against her about claiming two property tax exemptions. All the way back to 2007, she had charges filed against her for interfering with case law and things like this. But the biggest thing is this woman, who is now our auditor, who's a tax cheat. She ends up ponying up a little over $6,000 because she was wrong. She kept saying that she was right, and she was wrong. That's not the worst part about this person. This person, she now is up on ethics violations because her husband, Paul McDevitt, who works on a reform program for ex-cons, brought this woman, Robin Murphy, to Suzanne's attention when she was labor secretary, okay? Robin Murphy served 24 years, like I said, for the satanic cult slaying of a young hooker, okay? And Suzanne Bump is hailing the ex-con's turnaround as a success story. So this is a success story. And they try to mask it with two Catholic nuns brought it forward and vouch for this Robin Murphy. Okay, this, you know, familiar with the situation, and they bring it forward. Well, this chick was twice denied parole, in 1990. So she gets out in 2004, and Murphy is 47 years old. She declines to talk about anything, and she's got she works at the Division of Unemployment Assistance, and she makes about $41,000 a year. Okay. I'm not sure where you're from. 41,000 is probably a little, you know, that's probably the average here in Massachusetts for most people. Some make, you know, obviously a lot make a lot more because we have a lot of money in Massachusetts, believe it or not. But, you know, for an average customer service job or, you know, something like with this state job, you're making about 40 grand a year. All right. And yeah, so this, it sounds great. It sounds great. The success story. Well, you know, Robin Murphy was with her cult boyfriend, satanic cult boyfriend. They picked up this hooker. They went and they murdered her and cut off her head. And Robin played soccer with the woman's head while her boyfriend screwed the body, had sex with the body. Okay, and then she gets denied parole twice. This is the kind of person Suzanne Bump has working for us in the unemployment office here in Massachusetts. This is the kind of person that Suzanne Bump gave a job to over any one of our returning veterans who cannot find jobs. Okay? So, I've got a problem with Suzanne Bump. But she's, you know, tax cheat, you know, ethics charges, violations, and now, you know, hiring satanic murderers is just A-okay with the majority of people in Massachusetts. They just think she's great. So, you know, the election overall, I've said pretty much I wanted to take the House. We can control the funding. We can defund stuff. We can stop funding. I wanted to get close in the House. I did not want to take the House. I don't want to give Obama any avenue to be able to say that he did anything once we get in there and we turn it around and we stop creating jobs. I don't want him. I'm glad Pelosi got the, as much as I can't stand her ugly Botoxed face, you know, just fake plastic piece of crap. I can't stand her. I will put up with another 2 years of watching her come out and, you know, talk while smiling and never being able to shut her mouth. And saying that, oh, everything's all, you know, everything's George Bush's fault. I'll put up with that just to make sure that people remember, you know. I guess maybe it's a good thing Barney won his seat for now, because then we can continuously remember people, you know, remind people about what Barney did, what Pelosi did, you know, and what Obama didn't do or couldn't do. So, yeah, I think overall the elections, you know, we took Obama's seat in Illinois. That was a beautiful thing. GOP, they have got to shit or get off the pot. If they do not shit or get off the pot, and they had stopped, and Michelle Bachmann made a ton of money for the GOP, a ton of money for these, you know, everyone who was running. And they totally blew her off. John Bonner, John Boehner, however the hell you want to say his name. Some people say Bonner, some say Boehner. He totally blew her off, and they didn't give her a seat, you know, didn't give her any type of, you know, position with this current, you know, Congress. So it's not going to cut it. We're not going away. We're not going to say, okay, well, we took the House and that's it. Nope. If we have to, you know, we will give a whole bunch more people Das Boot once 2012 comes. So with that, I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back.
Let's get this on. About to miss my flight. Come on.
I went to the airport to catch my flight. The TSA put me in the naked body scanner line. I don't want radiation, so I opted out. But when they grabbed my man junk, I couldn't help myself. I had to shout, I had to shout, I had to get my message out. I said, don't touch my junk, don't touch my junk. I'll have you arrested if you touch my junk. So don't touch my junk. This ain't your lovely lady love. I don't wanna be molested, so don't touch my junk. So I went back wearing a Scottish kilt. I popped 3 Viagra to make sure my stuff would not wilt. When it came my turn for the nasty pat down, they thought I had a weapon, so they made me pull it out. Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
I'll have you arrested if you touch my junk. Don't touch my junk. Let go of my heart, my heart, my heart. I don't wanna be molested, so don't touch my junk.
Now who put these morons with a badge in charge and gave them the right to molest us in the name of security?
Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
They x-rayed my bags and then they battered down my elephant trunk.
Went up my shorts and went down my pants. This ain't romance. No, it's the TSA hustle. They felt me up while they put me down. They squeezed my butt in that TSA hustle.
Happening in the land of the free? Alex Jones was right. I'm gonna smuggle a copy of the Bill of Rights next to my body, so when they reach down there, they get a handful of Fourth Amendment.
Lordy, lordy, I declare Big Brother's in my underwear. Fly to London, fly to France, Big Sis checking out my underpants. Up my shorts,
can't touch,
went down my pants,
can't touch,
this ain't romance. No, it's the TSA hustle. They felt me up like they were my personal physician. Put your hands in the air in the surrender position. This ain't security, and this ain't sex.
Can't touch
some other kind of tyranny. And now you're next.
You next.
It's time to stop these Big Brother Nazi thugs. Next time you fly, just tell them, don't touch my junk.
Bill of Rights, baby.
Ah, oh, yes, don't touch my junk. So that, I guess the firestorm on this whole TSA debacle started, this whole firestorm started when John Tyner, he was the guy in San Diego trying to go through. They tell him he needs to go to the body scanner. He says, nope, won't submit to the body scanner. I will go to the pat-down. So they put him in the pat-down lane. Now he's already got the shoes off and everything, so he's got to go through that. And he says to him, okay, well, I'll go for the pat-down, but don't touch my junk because then I will have you arrested. And the TSA agent says, okay, because of your statement, I need to get my supervisor over here. So the supervisor comes over, and he says, okay, well, do what you got to do, but don't touch my junk. And they said, we have to travel up your leg until we meet resistance and then, continue on up to your lower torso. And he said, nope, you're not touching my junk or I'll have you arrested. And they said, well, it's, you know, the rules. And he said, well, I don't care. The only reason you get away with it is because you're from the government. If you weren't from the government, I could have you arrested for molestation. So, and he's totally right. Absolutely and completely right. And so they bring over his supervisor. So the supervisor's there and they're talking. And he says, okay, well, you know, you're not going to fly today then. So John says, fine, I won't fly today then. I will drive or I'll take a train. So he goes over and grabs his stuff and goes over and gets a refund on his ticket and is escorted out by the TSA officials. They tell him he has to leave the airport. Well, as he's about to leave the airport, I mean, I'm sure most of you have heard this, as he's about to leave the airport, another you know, rent-a-cop comes up and says, well, if you, you know, it's against the law, it's illegal. Once you start the proceedings of going through checkout, you know, the screening or whatever you want to call it, you know, the security check, you can't leave. Because if you leave, then we consider you a terrorist and you could be fined. So we'll have to build a case against you, you know. And John just stops it. It's a beautiful thing because he has it all on his phone. He left his phone on, so he has it all on tape. And he says, you bring that case. Loved that. Absolutely loved it. So, yeah, they're filing a suit against him for $11,000 because he started to go through the checkout or the, you know, security screening process and then decided against it and left. So, and he's like, are you going to get, you know, you're going to find them also? Because these are TSA agents are the ones who told me I had to leave and brought me to the door. All that hem and hawing going on, you know. So anyways, couple of things though. You know, let's see here. For arguing with a TSA agent, Robin Kastner wound up being slammed to the floor. She's filing a lawsuit. She said she begged them over and over again to get off of her. Another woman, Mandy Hamlin, had gone through the metal detector. She'd gone through the regular medical, the big one, metal detector. Not an issue. But then when they wand you, sometimes they wand you, and in her breast area, it set off the wand. So they asked her, she said, well, I have nipple rings in. So they said, well, you'll have to remove them. She's like, what are you talking about? They're like, you have to remove them. And she's like, I can't remove them. So they call over the supervisors. The supervisor is a man, and he says, you have to remove them. So she's like, can't I just show them to the female? I can show you. I can take my bra off and show you. Nope, you've got to remove them. So they make her go behind a screen, and she removes the ring. But the ring. The bar, one had a ring, one had a bar. The bar had grown, the skin had grown. It's like sometimes with those things, the skin grows over it, and it's not like you can just take them out. It's not like an earring. So she was crying, and she's trying to take it out, and she can't. And she said, I can't take it out without pliers. Well, oh, they produce pliers. So she had to pry her nipple bar out before she could take her flight. And now, because of scarring and stuff, I guess she was having an issue with getting them back in. All right. I'm reading these things, okay? And then we have the case of, let's see here, Robert Perry, 71. And he has a prosthetic knee, and he always says, he's always told them, you know, that I have a prosthetic knee. I let them know ahead of time. So they went through. He had to go down. They had to swab his hands. He's in a wheelchair. And they take him to the room, you know, to the see-through room, and they're patting him down. And he says that the TSA agent yelled at him to get his belt off. So when he did, and he starts going down his legs, he pulls his pants right down to his ankles. So here's the 71-year-old guy who is now standing in full view of everyone in the airport in his underwear. Okay? So if that's not bad enough, let's see here. You have, there's a case of another little girl who goes, and she has, I can't find my notes on her, but, let's see here. Actually, I do. Her name, she's 16-year-old Michael Angen, and she's a frequent flyer, and because she's part of a Chicago children's choir, and she has, from birth, she had cancer, so she has a fully prosthetic leg, okay? And what they're supposed to do is whatever area that's in question, that is the area they're supposed to do the secondary screening on. That's the area they're supposed to check. Well, the father's like, okay, then why are they groping the back of her neck, her chest, underneath her bra, groping at her buttocks when it's her leg? Because we've got morons and perverts working at the TSA. Now, you gotta remember, these people were hired long before these policies were taken into effect. So the spokesman says, oh, no, well, you know, out of the 2 billion passengers screened nationwide since 9/11, there have only been 110,000 abuse complaints. Only 110,000. As far as I'm concerned, one is enough. when it's a legitimate complaint. Now, you'd think that this has been going on. The stories I'm just telling you about were from July of 08. Okay? This stuff that we're now hearing about has been going on since September 11 with these morons and lowlifes and perverts since September 11th. But it wasn't happening to everybody. It was happening to every 10th flyer or something. So you didn't really hear about it. Now everyone's subject to it. And now there's an issue. So recently, the story was reported on November 19th. Some of you might have heard it on Hannity. Kathy Bossie, she's a flight attendant, and she was going to work. She said the TSA agent told her to flip her badge onto her back, so she goes, they pulled her out of line to go through the body scanner. She goes through the body scanner, and she said they still did a secondary pat-down. They pulled her in and wanted to do a secondary pat-down, personal screening area. Well, she's a cancer survivor, and she has a prosthetic breast. So as they're going through, she says the TSA agent, she put her full hand on my breast and said, "What is this?" And Bossie says, "It's a prosthetic breast because I'm a cancer survivor." And said, "You'll have to show me that." So the woman has to reach in and pull out a prosthetic breast. Maybe for some people that's not a big deal. Maybe for some people, you know, who cares? I've heard it over and over and over again. Men talking about how it's not a big deal. Men who our whole culture and society, who they shower together, they go to the bathroom together, they have open stalls, they do, you know, when they're in the military, predominantly men in the military, they're doing everything naked and they fool around with each other and smack each other's junk and hit each other's asses and, you know, football and, you know, getting changed. That's fine. But for the most part, women in America are not like that. We're more private. We try and teach our children to be more private. We try and teach children, you know, nobody touches you, period. Strangers shouldn't be touching you, and they certainly should not be touching your private parts. So now we're expected to stand back while some stranger rips your child from your arms, basically, because no child is going to just want to go with a stranger willingly, and as they're crying, they're going to feel them up. Or they can go through the naked body scanner. Okay, how many pedophiles are working for the TSA? Who knows? Maybe it's one in a million. Maybe most of them are great people. Maybe most of them would never think about selling or putting your naked pictures if you're, you know, someone like a child or a celebrity. Maybe they would never think about putting your information up there on the website for all to see or to, you know, sell it or something like that. But who wants to take that chance? Why don't they put them all through Corey checks now? If they want to do this kind of crap, put them all, do a Corey check on every single one of them. I'd be very, very, very curious to see how many are, you know, ex-cons, perverts, child molesters and rapists, you know, pedophiles. And just, I'd be very, very curious. I bet you there'd be a lot more than you even realize or even imagine. Okay, so it gets even worse because not only, so Chertoff was in Bush's administration, and Chertoff was pushing for this because he actually, he was involved in the company, Rapiscan, that got a $165 million contract for the new body scan imaging machines 4 days after the underwear bomber incident, okay? And they're, of course, politically connected. And guess who owns stocks? 11,300 shares of this company. That would be George Soros, okay? So George Soros, and he just sold them off. Like 2 days after this whole, you know, hullabaloo started, he sells off all of his shares. And let's see here. The CEO is Deepak Chopra, but it's not the same guru, you know, that the New Age guru. So don't think that he's the one that's involved. So, yeah, we have that information, right? So George Soros. And let's see here. In the New York in the New York Post, newyorkpost.com. It's an article called Body Scanners, The Naked Truth, and it's written by David Ritkers. And this was just done on November 17th. And he says, the body scanners come to your local airport to provide marginal benefits, if any, in detecting weapons and explosives hidden on travelers. They aren't worth the money in cost, let alone in civil liberties. He goes on, you know, you can go to newyorkpost.com to read the full article, but he says, despite what their proponents would have us believe, body scanners are not some marginal tool to find all weapons and explosives that can be hidden on the human body. Yes, the scanners work with high-density objects such as guns and knives, but so do traditional magnometers. The scanners fare poorly against low-density materials such as thin plastics, gels, and liquids. Care to guess what Abdul Muttalab's bomb was made of, the panty bomber? The Government Accountability Office reported in March that it's not clear that a scanner would have detected that device. All right, so it's all a load of crap. He said, even if the scanner did work against low-density materials, the same group linked to the Christmas bomb, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, has already found ways to defeat the technology, hiding bombs inside the human body. Okay, so they used a suppository bomb. And he said, terrorists already know how to beat the body scanners with low-tech, really no-tech techniques, and the government is spending billions on the gadgets. Now, if that isn't bad enough, he goes on to say that this is at a time where we're trying to cut federal spending, and the federal budget commission is saying that we must cut federal employee roles, including the FBI agents, just to keep spending sustainable. So the people who actually catch the terrorists, we're going to, you know, fire, and we're going to put more faith in these body scanners. Right, it's absolutely ludicrous. I went off the other day. I called into a local radio show because, you know, everyone was saying, oh, what's the big deal? If it keeps us safe, that's the point. It's not keeping us safe. They don't scan the packages that go into the bellies of the plane. Yeah, they may look through your luggage, your personal luggage, but not the packages. The packages, and this has been the problem since 2001, they don't scan the cargo hold. Nothing that goes in there. So somebody, if someone wanted money bad enough, or they were, you know, such a scumbag that they would take a bribe. It would be very easy to bribe someone to slip something into the whole cargo hold of a plane. We don't scan any of that stuff, so don't give me this crap that my only option to stay safe flying is to have a pornographic picture taken of me. And yes, they are pornographic pictures because you can see every nook and cranny. You can see which way the guy hangs. You can see which way Mutt and Jeff, you know, which one hangs lower. It's very defined. With women, you can tell if they're nickels, dimes, quarters, or half dollars. They're very much defined. They fuzz it out on TV so that, you know, because they can't show it on TV. It's fuzzed out. Do a search. You'll be able to see some of the scans, and they are very, very much, they basically pornography pictures. Your other option is to go through the metal detector and then be felt up. And they say, oh, it's just a ping. It's a ping. Well, it's not a simple ping. You now have reports of women saying that the female TSA agent actually cups your vagina and rubs their hands along the lips of your vagina. You have older women saying that they open up the waistband of their skirts and look down into their private parts. You have women saying they're being groped. Their breasts are being groped. Not just patted down, but groped, full-on grab. You have men who say they're being cupped. This is absolutely ludicrous. These are perverts. The people up top, absolutely perverted. Who knows? You know, that little clip mentioned something about Alex Jones. As much as I think he is off the charts like a loony bin on 99.999% of things, there are a few bits and pieces that he has been right on, and this is one of them. He's been talking about this for, you know, years, that this is coming, that they're going to, you know, totally invade you, and it's going to be a total, you know, body pat down. I mean, totally invasive to your privacy and your civil liberties, which is what I consider it. Now, in, let's see here, Red State had a column this week, and one of the local talk show hosts, Michael Graham, had this on his blog, so I know, you know, this is supposed to be my show, not Michael Graham's show. Yeah, whatever, bite me. He came out, he has this perfect, this sums it up perfectly. And he writes, your TSA stupidity update of the day. What happens when combat soldiers flying back from Afghanistan, the same stupid things that happens to you? This is an actual excerpt from redstate.com. Eric Erickson had posted this. So this is just an excerpt from Eric Erickson's article. And he's already come out and said, yes, this is actually true. This is, I know this person, and he told me this mouth, you know, from him to me, this is what transpired with these soldiers coming home from Afghanistan. So Eric Erickson's friend says to him, this is probably another good time to remind you all that all of us, all of us were carrying assault rifles, and some of us were also carrying pistols. And this is on their way back. So we're in the line in Indianapolis, Indiana, going through one at a time. One of our soldiers had his Gerber multi-tool, TSA confiscated it. Kind of ridiculous, but it gets better. A few minutes later, a guy empties his pockets and has a pair of nail clippers. Nail clippers. The TSA informs the soldier that they're going to confiscate his nail clippers. The conversation went something like this. TSA guy, you can't take those on the plane. Soldier, what? I've had them since we left country. TSA guy, you're not supposed to have them. Soldier, why? TSA guy, they can be used as a weapon. Soldier, touching the buttstock of his rifle. But this actually is a weapon, and I'm allowed to take it on? TSA guy, yeah, but you can't take over the plane. You don't have any bullets. Soldier, I can take over the plane with nail clippers? TSA guy, awkward silence. Me, this is the friend. Dude, just give him the damn clippers so we can get the fuck out of here. I'll buy you a new set. Soldier, hands clippers to TSA guy, makes it through security. If that doesn't sum up how absolutely ridiculous this is. The very people who are fighting the terrorists to keep us safe are now being treated like they're terrorists. And, of course, care, you know, that the Islamic whack jobs, terrorists themselves, are now petitioning that women with burqas and hijabs should not, based on religious grounds, should not have to go through any type of body scanning or pat-downs. They want them to pat themselves down. Yeah, pat yourselves down, and then show us your hands, and then we'll swab your hands, and then that'll tell us whether or not you're Ahmed, Fahim, Ali, nice Adam's apple, ma'am, nice, 5 o'clock shadow, lady. That'll tell us whether or not we have bombs on, on our person, because I patted myself down. I patted myself, no bombs. Freaking ludicrous. So our soldiers, our heroes coming home, being treated like they might be potential terrorists, and the actual terrorists aren't even going to be patted down. Okay.
We search your groin, we search your nun, we search your kitties just for fun, but we don't search the burkas. We search grandma and her genital too, and the x-ray machine is a real hot view, but we don't search the burkas. So bring a flag and fly it high, but if we don't grope you, then you will not fly. And now our full body x-rays stand in by, but remember, we don't search the burkas. No, we don't search those burkas.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched. So gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting.
Ah, yes, the home of the brave. Land of the free and home of the brave. And we have this from James Carville.
You know, is he being a wimp, or is he sounding the right tone and being on the right course, and is his approach right?
I don't know, because I'm the guy in the campaign that says if Hillary gave him one of her balls, they both have two. So I don't know. I thought he didn't like that. I don't know why.
And this from Joe Scarborough.
It's relationships. I have talked, again, I wish I could give their names, because a lot of skeptics out there would understand how Washington, Democrats in Washington, have been horrified by this president's handling of things for a year and a half now. But just look at the chart. The top Democrats in the United States Senate have all told me individually, this guy has no idea what he's doing. You pull people in. These Democratic chairmen of the Senate were saying, they've got to get us all in the room. They've got to get the Republicans in here. You lock arms before you do these things. They said the president just wouldn't
do it.
Well,
it's not like Republicans have never been to the White House. They have been invited there. There have been
Mika, let's not recreate the past year.
Are you going to tell me that no Republicans have ever been invited to the White House?
Invited to the White House, but
come on. Come on.
I mean, now you guys are saying that is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what the top Democratic senators are saying. The people that you know damn well which powerful senators that run the United States Senate have been saying about Barack Obama for the past 2 years. So don't play this game like, oh, this is just such a shock and I'm going to be down the middle.
Don't
I'm
say
talking
Republicans
about
have never been invited over to the White House.
Let me introduce another.
The New
element.
York Times said for 18 months.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell,
the most powerful Republican in the U.S. Senate, did not have a one-on-one with Barack Obama. That is inexcusable on all levels, and Democratic senators will be the first to tell you that, and they have told you that.
Let me introduce another element into this discussion that I think that plays a part in what has happened, especially over the last year, and that's the importance and the absence of Ted Kennedy in the Senate, and the importance and the absence of Ted Kennedy in his relationship with President Obama.
You know, Senator Kennedy was a good legislator. He would keep his word. I didn't agree with his word all the time, but he would keep it. If he said he was going to screw me, he would screw me. But he also, if he said he was going to help me, he would help me. And he would work to get things done. So, yes, we miss kind of the maturity of the Senate, finding solutions, finding common ground. There are lots of opportunities to divide. Yeah. Where are the opportunities to come together?
Hey, Mike, just so I'm not exposed here, because Miki can't say it, because she's talked to these same Democratic senators. How many Democratic senators running the U.S. Senate over the past 2 years have told you that they could pull their hair out because of the way the White House was handling the situation?
You know, I was just mentally going through a card check.
It's all the chairman.
I was up to seven as you were going back and forth. Seven different individual senators have said exactly that.
And it's not a leading question.
No.
I sometimes will be sitting at home. The phone will ring and I'll pick it up and it's a Democratic chairman saying, can you believe what he is doing today?
Now, if that isn't a beautiful thing, there you have, I mean, in one hand, it makes me sick because they've been a bunch of hypocrites for the last 2 years trying to, you know, I don't know who had pictures of them blowing a donkey or something down in Tijuana, but they've all been on the love fest with Obama for 2 years, and now all of a sudden when they see it slipping away and they're like, ooh, crap, we're going to need to actually talk to the Republicans now. We're going to actually need to, you know, we're going to need their help. We're going to have to cooperate with them. You know, the Republicans have been ignored for 2 years, and Obama kept saying how we blocked them. The Republicans are blocking everything, even though we had no chance in hell of blocking anything because we had no majority. It's all on the Democrats the last 2 years. The quadrupling of the deficit is all on the Democrats in the last 2 years. They've allowed themselves to be run and ruled by these progressive loons who they don't want to distance themselves from. Well, now you saw some scrambling. Now I think you'll see some who are going to backpedal, and now that they don't have Nancy Pelosi, you know, threatening their lives to vote the way she wants them to vote. Yeah, I said that. I believe she threatened people's lives. And, you know, now you'll see a bunch of backpedaling. You know, makes me sick, but whatever. Well, let's get the country back on track. You know, because we have this guy at the helm who nobody respects, no one listens to, who came in saying that he actually says he uses his middle name around the world to gain more respect, and the Muslim world hates us more than ever because we're weak. And the only thing they understand is strength. So this limp-wristed pussy is at the helm. He's a total slanderer and thief. Now, he says that he could not go to the Golden Temple in India. He could not visit that. I mean, that's supposed to be like this big sacred place. But he abandoned those visits because they feared that photographs might be used to portray him as a Muslim, the false claims that he's a Muslim, because he'd have to cover his head to actually go in and be in the mosque, not the mosque, the Golden Temple. Okay, so that was ditched. But, let's see here, not too long after, in Jakarta, Indonesia, he visits Abdullah Gymnastar, India's most popular Islamic preacher, whose mosque Obama also visited. Isn't that a coincidence, right? So he's going to talk to this piece of crap, Gymnastar, who says, quote unquote, "You, the U.S., don't look fair. I feel so sad America looks too powerful. Why is it that Israel takes Palestinian land, and why is it that the U.S. always helps this?" Okay, so he wouldn't go to the Sykes Golden Temple in India because he didn't want to look like a Muslim by covering his head, yet he goes and gives his second major speech to this piece of crap in Jakarta, okay, in front of all the Indonesian people. A place where Hitler's Mein Kampf is currently a bestseller, and the architects of the independent mosque have been described as fascists. Saudi Arabia, I guess, paid for the translation of Hitler's Mein Kampf into their, the Basra, Indonesia, the official language of Indonesia, and it's flying off the shelves. So he doesn't want to go and look like a Muslim by covering his head at an Indian Sikh revered sacred temple, okay? But he'll go and he'll listen to this piece of vile garbage talk about the, you know, how he wants the U.S. to stop backing Israel and to help Palestine, all the Palestinians who aren't even Palestinians. They're just Arab pieces of crap who have taken over this land. And again, I have no sympathy for anyone in that Palestinian state. They continuously will bash Israel. I mean, they're like our welfare state. They're like our welfare losers here in America. Everything is Israel's fault. Israel owes them everything. They want all the land. They want all the money. They want everything that Israel has worked hard for and has built. I don't have any sympathy for welfare cheats in America. And I know people need welfare. And there have been people in my family who have gotten on it because they've had to, single moms with children, you know, after disastrous marriages and breakups. And then when they got... they went to training, they got jobs, they got off of it. So the transitional stuff, I have no problem with. I have no problem with helping people. It's this generational crap that drives me batty. You have no pride. There's no decorum. It blows my mind that people would ever be proud to say that, oh yeah, I'm the fourth generation welfare recipient. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting, and we keep fostering it. We keep fostering it, and now we're fostering it with illegal aliens. Devil Patrick here in Massachusetts wants to give illegals in-state tuition. Okay, if they're illegal, you should be arresting them and deporting them. But no, we can't do that. We have to give them in-state tuition so they can go to school, and they can send all their money back to their, you know, hellhole, or shithole, or rat hole, whatever you want to call it, spider hole in the world, and further destroy our economy because they use up all of the resources that our people, actual Americans, should be using. So, California is allowing the anchor babies to now have in-state tuition, and they wonder why they are, going downhill and being just you know, burning up into a flaming ball of poo. So, anyways, that's the, we're coming to the end of the show, and I just want to, I want to thank DC again, all the hosts, for all their support. Love me or hate me, I at least stay true to my convictions, and, you know, as always, I want to end the show with the troop support. You know, again, you can do the Cup of Joe for a Joe. I'm going to start a new venture. It's called Pennies for the Troops, and I'll talk more about that when, once we're up and running, but it's going to be, you know, we're going to be filed with the state and eventually want to go, countrywide, but there will be a PayPal button if people want to donate, and basically we're going to be asking for your pennies and your change, $1 a month, to help families of fallen soldiers and fallen warriors. So I will talk more about that later on. But in the meantime, happy Thanksgiving. If you have anyone in the military or overseas, if you know anyone, your Facebook friends, your MySpace friends, give them a shout out for Thanksgiving. Make sure they know they understand they're remembered and that we are thinking of them. And think about care packages for Christmas. It's always nice to get a little taste of home over there, okay? So they need us more than ever, as I always say. And each time, it just becomes more and more meaningful because we have this slanderer and thief at the helm who absolutely could care less about them. Now that we're in control of the funding, the conservatives are in control of the funding, hopefully it won't be so bad for them. But, you know, you still got that, illegal alien at the helm. So, you know, do what you can for the troops. Let them know that we don't think that they are on the same par as terrorists trying to come into our country, and that even though they may get searched at the airports by the TSA, they will get hugged by us. Okay? So, this is All Out Amy. I want to thank DC, chimpsytalk.com. I want to thank all the hosts again. Come see us. My Podomatic site is alloutamy.podomatic.com, so you can download this on iTunes and listen to it whenever you want. Come chat with us at chimpsytalk.com. And this is All Out Amy saying thank you for listening. Without you, it would not be possible. And see ya.